This is Lawrence Tuning, and these are my 88 friends.
Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. I will sing you a song that will help me along. They're my one-man band. I'm the number one fan.
Welcome to another episode of our show, Me and My 88 Friends. This is Lawrence Tuning, your host. We're going to do a lot of music tonight. By the way, I say this every week, but the 88 Friends are the keys on a piano. And I'm going to sing to you about a dozen songs that I've written at the piano. And we're also going to look at the word for a few minutes. I'm calling this episode The Road Less Traveled. There's a verse in the book of John where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. And we're going to look at that. What does it mean to walk his way, to walk the narrow way? But first, let's do some music. The first song I want to play is a song I recorded back in 2000, and it's called Turn Around.
You better listen well.
You can fool around and let the clock wind down and land yourself in.
Well, the bubble's gonna burst. Gonna move from bad to worse. Take some advice that's safe and sound.
Turn around.
Broad is the boulevard. People running hard. Popularity temporarily can blind you to the fact
that the road you're on is a danger zone and you might not make it back.
No, the bubble's gonna burst. Gonna move from bad to worse. Already said it once, I think I'll say it twice.
Turn around.
That song was called Turn Around. Do you know that the word repent basically means turn around? It means to change your mind. It means to make a U-turn, turn around. And I wrote this next song actually in about 1979. I started it and never finished it. But when I did my last project a few years ago, I revamped it, redid it, and tweaked it, and finally put it out on a record. This song is called U.S. Americans. A lot of songs that people write about America are patriotic numbers. This is a song about turning around. It's a song about repentance. It's a song that says we're on the wrong path. We need to stop and get back to our roots, our religious roots. There's a verse in, I think, Jeremiah, where it says, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, and walk therein, and you will find rest for your souls. I believe that's the way it's worded. And this song just basically says we're heading toward the edge of the cliff, and we need to turn around, we need to come back to God and repent. People are afraid of that word repent because you think of the movies in the Bible where John the Baptist is in the Jordan River and he's screaming at people, repent. But repent just means, hey, this isn't working. We're going the wrong direction. Let's just turn around. So this song is U.S. Americans.
Top of the pile. We're Americans. We've been number one since before we can even recall. The richest, the strongest in the history of the world. The wonder of them all. And I'm glad to be an American. I wouldn't want to be from anywhere else. But if we get to the point where we don't need God, the best years are in the past for us, America. We're Americans. We love our fun in the sun. We spend our money long before we get paid. We're Americans. We love football and guns and 4th of July parade. We're Americans, and we're starting to drift. The mood is beginning to shift. We're moving away from an earlier faith and closer to the edge of the cliff. Oh, I'm glad to be an American. I wouldn't want to be from anywhere else. But if we get to the point where we don't need God, the best years are in the past for us, America. I'm not trying to be popular. That option already came and went. So I'll just say it and let the chips fall where they may. I think it's time for us all to repent. In the scripture, God makes it plain, He makes it clear as day. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, if they'll learn from their past mistakes and follow me again, if they'll turn from their wicked ways, I'll come and heal the land. Oh, I'm glad to be an American. I wouldn't want to be from anywhere else. And if we turn back to God, I do believe the best years are still ahead for us, America.
Us, America.
Us, America.
US, America.
I have a pastor friend here in town where I live, which is Florence, South Carolina. He came to me once and he said, "You know what, Lawrence, you are a Baskin Robbins type of songwriter." And I said, "What in the world does that mean?" He said, "Well, you have like 34 flavors. You don't stick to one style. You do a lot of different styles. You never know what the song's going to sound like until you start playing it." And I do like variety. My daughter told me one time when she was a little girl, she said, "A lot of music bores me, but you don't bore me, because if I don't like a song, I know you're going to change it up, and sooner or later, you're going to land on one that I like." So this is a different style. This is a Dixieland style. I played this song for many years. I wrote it way back in the 70s, but when I recorded a record, I think it was 2011, my producer, Rich Morpurgo, came up with this idea to do it with a clarinet, a trombone, and a trumpet, and a piano, and a banjo. And I think there was a bass, of course, drums, and maybe even an acoustic guitar. Anyway, it's based on a verse in Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20, where Jesus said, it's a very famous verse, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and will open up, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me." And what he's saying is that the path of following Jesus is a friendship path, basically. And he wants to have a relationship, a friendship, a fellowship. And that's what he's saying. "I will come in if you will open the door. I'm not going to come in unless you want me, unless you open the door. But I'm inviting you to have a friendship with me. And if you will open the door, I will come in and we will eat a meal together. We will fellowship together." Well, most people don't want to open that door the first time they hear that knock. And sooner or later, if you're smart, you open it and you say, "I want to know you, Lord. I want to be a friend with you. I want to be close-knit." So here's my Dixieland version of "I Heard a Knock."
I heard a knock. Someone was knocking at my door. But I did not want to be bothered, so I tried to ignore. I got busy doing lots of things to occupy my time. But I could never into another room to be free from that awful sound. I trembled. I thought, who could that be? I cried, "Go away. I feel okay right now. Things are fine. But if you come again, perhaps I'll let you in at that time." But he kept right on, and he kept right on. He kept right on, and he kept right on. We'll be right back.
So I took a breath and I opened up and tell me, who do you think? It was Jesus. He had some bread and something to drink. And he said, I stand at the door and I knock.
Few songs now with my band, Damascus Road. That band consists of Keith Hamrick on drums, Jason Dowdy on lead electric guitar, Brian Hugenboom on acoustic guitar and electric guitar, and Russell James on bass, and yours truly on keyboard. The first song that I want to play that we've done just practicing together in the practice room is a song called Ebenezer. And that will be followed by an old song I wrote in the early 70s called From Glory to Glory.
Become the cornerstone, and my soul cried, hey. help me, I run to my stone of help. Thus far the Lord has helped me, Jesus is my stone of help. Thus far the Lord has helped me, Jesus, you're my stone. Help me.
Listen to a podcast called Me and My 88 Friends. This is Lawrence Tuning, your host. We're listening to various songs that I've written over the last 5 decades. And a few weeks ago, my band and I had our first concert. We had tried to do concerts over the last couple of years, but COVID knocked us out time after time. We had to cancel because of COVID scares. But these songs appeared on this podcast a few weeks ago called Maiden Voyage because it was our first concert. But I want to play a couple of songs from that concert again. The first song is called I Wouldn't Go Back.
I I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't go back to the life I used to live. I wouldn't go back, never going back again. It's all behind me, so don't remind me. It's all too vivid in my mind. No, I wouldn't go back to the life I used to live. I chose to leave it all behind. It takes, oh Lord, lead me on. No, I wouldn't go back to the life I used to live before the night I knelt and asked God to I shed the loneliness inside. I wouldn't go back, wouldn't go back, not I. I still recall the night that fall, how close I came. Ending my life just before you came. Lying on my bed, the ceiling over my head, kept screaming, who are you anyway? What could I say? Sitting in my living room, tears streaming down my face. Life was such a waste. Then I met you.
Jesus, everybody. Selena, with a wrought iron gate.
And I don't have to have a fancy yacht, anchored on the cape.
I don't have to have stocks and bonds. I don't need them stocks and bonds.
And I have something more secure than I need a bond. Ain't nobody.
My songs are inspired just from reading the Bible, and they are basically putting scripture in my own words to music, and that's what I want to do with these next two songs. The first song I want to do in this couplet of songs is based on Psalm 26. Psalm 26 is the passage where they've recorded how joyful they were when they were on their way back to Zion after being captives in Babylon for 70 years. It says, we were like those who dreamed when we were on our way and back home. This is done just at the piano. The second song that you'll hear is called The Pearl, and that was inspired by one of Jesus' stories. It said, the kingdom of God is like a man looking for fine pearls, who when he finds it, he goes and sells everything he has to have that one pearl. And speaking of the great value of a relationship with God. So here's just me and my 88 friends, just me and the piano, doing Psalm 126, We Were Like Those Who Dream, and it's followed by The Pearl. When the Lord brought back His children to Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Oh, how we laughed, how we sang the songs of our fathers. We were like those who dream. Then the nation said, God has done great things for them, we agree. We agree that God has done great things for us. We are glad, oh, so glad. They that sow in tears will reap with great joy, bringing their sheaves with a shout of praise. God has done great things for us, and we are glad, oh, so glad. They that sow in tears will reap with great joy, bringing their sheaves with a shout of praise. Bringing their sheaves with a shout of praise.
Priceless pearl, a jewel so rare,
extraordinaire. This priceless pearl, I may not be a big success in the eyes of the world, but I have no regrets, for I have found this priceless pearl. People look at me, nothing much to say, just an ordinary man. If they only knew, hidden from their view, how rich I am, for I hold in my hand a priceless pearl, a gem so fine. Can't believe it's mine. This priceless pearl. If they only knew, hidden from their view, how rich I am. And if I searched high and low throughout the world, I could never come close to what I found in this priceless pearl. This priceless pearl. Joy to the world.
In the past year, I have met a person who was brought up in another country. And in that country, it is very unpopular to be a Christian. You can get into a lot of trouble if you convert from the predominant religion to Christianity. When this person was a teenager, he began to have questions about the faith that he was brought up in, and he went to the local religious leaders who basically told him, you're asked too many questions, you need to stop thinking about these things and just do what we tell you. Well, that didn't satisfy him. To make a long story short, he had a friend who was a Christian who shared his faith with him, and it resulted in him turning to Jesus, saying the prayer, asking Christ to come into his heart and beginning to be a Jesus follower. When he told his family about it, they were very upset and actually kicked him out. And then they sent various family members over to him to try to talk him out of the decision he had made. And so the man told me that his sister came over to try to reconvert him back to the faith that he was raised in. And she didn't get anywhere. Well, a few weeks later, she came back and she said, I had a dream. And she said, I had said a prayer that if Christianity was real, that I wanted to know. And then I had this dream. In this dream, this man came to me dressed in a white robe. And this is what he said to me. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now, my sister had no idea what the Gospel of John said. And so this man told his sister, he said, "I want to show you something that is the words of Jesus in the Bible." And he turned to the book of John, I think it's the 14th chapter, where John recorded that Jesus said those very words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Well, that experience led to his sister coming to Christ, and many of his family have come to Christ since then. So I want to talk just a little bit about what it means to walk in the way of Jesus. The early church sometimes was called the way. And Jesus compared following him to choosing a narrow way, a narrow road. And that's why I've called this episode, "The Road Not Taken." Excuse me, that was the title of a Robert Frost poem, so I'm calling it "The Road Less Traveled." The way that Jesus is talking about, "I am the way," is a close relationship of love and obedience for Jesus. That is the way. That is his way. It's just walking with him. He is the way. He's walking the way. You just go with him. And it's a friendship. It's a relationship. We embrace his love for us, but we also commit to obey him. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." So some ways that really seem right, that really seem even popular, end up not being a good way, not being a good choice. Buddy Holly, I believe he had the flu, and he was going to sing in Iowa, and he decided to charter an airplane, because that would seem to be a better way. It was in the middle of a snowstorm, and that ended in his death. It wasn't a good way. Thinking of people that bought a ticket to the Titanic, that was a way that seemed right to the people, but the end was the way of death. And there's some things about the way of Jesus. He said, "I am the way." One of the things the Bible says is that it's a narrow way. Jesus said the road is narrow and the gate is small and few are the people that find it. He said the way of the world is a broad highway and many, many people walk on that highway. But the real road to life is narrow. We don't like that word narrow in our society. We don't like to be called narrow-minded. We like to be called broad-minded. But Jesus says the road to life is narrow. You narrow your options. You don't say any way will work. You choose one way and you walk that narrow road, but that's the road that gets you to life. I read a book one time and the man was talking about it. It was not a Christian book, but he was talking about the fact that in his own life, he came to the conclusion that narrowing his options gave him a lot more happiness. And he talked about his sexual life, that he was very promiscuous. He had many women, women friends, was never committed to anybody, and he was not happy. And he said that then he fell in love and decided to narrow things down to one woman and to be committed to her, and that opened the door to a lot more happiness, narrowing it, going the narrow road. You're the only one for me. I'm going to walk my life with you. And there are many times in life when it's the narrowing of things that brings more happiness or brings more fulfillment or gets more things done. I'm told that the great scientist George Washington Carver, who was a religious man, prayed to God one time and he said, "Teach me the truth about the universe." And he said, the Lord said, "I'm not going to do that. I'm going to show you about the peanut. I want you to concentrate on the lowly peanut." And for the rest of his life, he researched and studied the plant and found so many uses for the peanut. It was the narrowing down that gave him success. So the way of Jesus is a narrow road. Not all roads lead to heaven. If I were to say, I want to go to Montreal, Canada, and say any road will get there, you could get on I-40 and you would end up in California, but you would not end up in Montreal. So it's a narrow road. Here's another thing about the road. It is a road that is going the opposite way of the majority. Billy Graham said one time, the way of Christianity is always in the minority. Christians will always be a minority. We can say this is a Christian country. And yes, it was founded on Judeo-Christian principles in many ways. But followers of Jesus, true followers, not in name only, but true followers, have always been the minority. They always will be. You're always going to be swimming against the tide in such a way. I remember my brother-in-law came to see us in Massachusetts when we lived there. And we had been praying for him a long time. And he was empty and messed up. And he said, "While I'm here, I want to go to Maine one day. I want to go to Cape Cod one day. I want to go to Vermont one day. I want to get baptized. I think I want to go to Boston." He kind of threw in that baptism thing. And I remember telling him, "We can baptize you, but there's some things we need to talk about." And I shared with him how baptism is just what you do after you give your life to Christ according to the Bible. It's an outward symbol of something that has happened in your heart. You've decided to turn from your sins and follow Jesus. Well, he did. He prayed the prayer. And so when we baptized him in a swimming pool there in Marlborough, Massachusetts, a friend of mine went to him and said to him, "Dan, when you go back home to Kansas, I need to tell you, you're going to lose every friend you've got when they find out that you've turned from sin and are going to follow Jesus. So brace yourself. It's going to happen. But don't worry about it, because God will give you new friends and true friends." And that's really what happened. So it's going to be a minority. I knew of a pastor one time, an evangelist one time. He was preaching at a church, and he went to give the altar call, and he had the whole church turn and face the back of the building. And then he said, "Now those that want to follow Christ, I want you to come forward and face these people as you come forward." And as they were doing that, he said, "The reason I did this is for the rest of your life, that's the way it's going to be. The majority of people are going to be looking the opposite way, going the opposite direction. And that's the way of Jesus. That's the narrow way." The bottom line here that I think a lot of people don't understand is Father knows best. The old proverb said mother knows best, and there was a TV show in the 1950s where Robert Young was the father, and it said father knows best. But when we come to Christ, when we come to God, for it to really work, you've got to let him have the final say. People divorce over who gets to have the final say. People break up bands over who gets the final say. When it comes to Jesus, we are not a co-equal partner with him. For it to work, we have to come and humble ourselves and say, "Jesus, I believe you are the way, the truth, and the life. And because of this, I give you my life. and I give you my commitment to follow you wherever you lead. That's what he said when he came to the people on the shores of Lake Galilee. And he said to James and John and Peter and Andrew, he simply said, follow me. And that's really what it's all about. We could talk about all the different doctrinal points, but the essence of it is just saying, I lay down what I want to do, and I acknowledge that your will is best, and I will follow that instead. I want to quote you my favorite poem, which is not in the Bible, but I loved my years living in New England. Robert Frost writes about walking in the woods in New England. It was either New Hampshire or Vermont. And seeing two roads in the woods and making a decision over which path he must take. This is the great poem, The Road Not Taken. He wrote, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler, long I stood and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other, as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as far that the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. I love that poem. There's a lot of scriptural truth in that. The way of Jesus, the narrow road, is the road less traveled by. But I can say for my own life, that road has made all the difference. And maybe you need to consider taking that road if you haven't. Maybe you walked it for a while and left it, and you realize you need to come back. Come back to that road. So I want to just say a little prayer as we end this episode. If you're one of those people and you just want to make that decision to choose the right road, the narrow road, the road less traveled, say this prayer with me as I pray it. Lord Jesus, the Son of God, I thank you that you love me, and I thank you that you created me with a purpose and a plan, and you said in your word you came to give me abundant life, and you said you are the way, the truth, and the life. And so I want to embrace you in my heart and in my mind. Instead of turning you away or diminishing you or ignoring you, I want to say to you, I believe in you. And I thank you that you love me. And I thank you that you died on the cross and you shed your blood for me. And I need you. I'm empty. And I don't have the right answers. I've tried other things and they've never panned out. So I bow my heart to you now. And I say to you, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. And with your help, I will make a U-turn now. And step by step, I will follow you. I know I can't get there all at once, but I'm turning now and I'm following you day by day. Give me the courage to let go and turn from the things that are wrong. Give me the courage to embrace what is right. And I thank you that you said if I would do this, I would be a brand new creature. And all the old would be taken away. Thank you that the guilt of my past is being removed as I turn to you. And I thank you now. In Jesus' name. That's our podcast for this week. I want to close with a song I wrote that talks about a peaceful path. This is the song, Living in the Shadow. God bless. Hope you tune in next week.
Shadow of the glory of the Lord, looking forward to what is yet to come. But for now, I have found a peaceful path in the shadow of the glory of the Lord. I have chosen to abandon the ambitions of the past in pursuit of things that quickly fade. I have traded them all for a peaceful path in the shadow of the glory of the Lord. Things that used to matter have somehow lost their charm when compared to what shall be revealed. Now we see a shadow, a faint silhouette. One day all our hopes will be fulfilled. That used to matter have somehow lost their charm when compared to what shall be revealed. Now we see a shadow, just a faint silhouette. One day all our hopes will be fulfilled. Living in the shadow of the glory of the Lord, looking forward to what is yet to come. But for now, I have found a peaceful path in the shadow of the glory of the Lord. In the shadow of the glory of the Lord.
88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. I will sing you a song that will help me along. They're my one-man band, I'm their number one fan. Me and my 88, me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. Some are black, some are white. They are precious in my sight. Some are quiet, some are loud. Some stand out in a crowd. Me and my 88. Me and my 88 friends. Friends for a long, long time. Ever since I was old enough to climb up on a piano stool and get to know them one by one. Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. Some are black, some are white. They are precious in my sight. Some are high, some are low. Re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Yeah. Me and my 88, me and my 88. I love my 88, me and my 88 friends. We agreed early on we would play and sing the songs to give the glory to the King of Kings. He's the one who gave the harmony. Oh, come let us adore him. Me and my 88, me and my 88. I love my 88, me and my 88 friends.